Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Thanks so much for being here with us on this Wednesday afternoon. Just found out it's Wednesday. Just checked with Darren. He said, yep, it's Wednesday. So I know for a fact that it is Wednesday. Oh, maybe where you are, it's not. If you're listening on the other side of the dateline and it's Thursday, happy Thursday to you. Good morning to you. We've got a really good show. Second hour, Jeff Cavins will be here. Of course, we'll ask him about Father Mike Schmitz. If you talk to Jeff Cavins, you got to, because, you know, they're partners in the greatest Catholic podcast, maybe the greatest podcast of any kind ever made. So we'll talk, but it'll be your Bible questions, because you know Jeff Cavins really knows his Bible, and we'd be happy to take your Bible questions second hour. First hour, Connor McLaughlin's here, a Catholic evangelist, and you can find him by going, he uses his name. He's not one of these, I don't want to say weirdos, but these people who, you know, they come up with a moniker where they call themselves, they come up with their own nicknames is what they do, which is, you know, is that really cool to come up with your own nickname? No, he's just Connor McLaughlin on air. He's the founder of Torchbearer Ministries, and we're going to talk with him today about teens and basically teen ministry. How do we do it? If you got teens, if you're a parent, if you're working in a parish, if you're a grandparent who's worried about, if you're a teen, any of those, any of the above, 888-318-7884. We've got to do this from time to time because, look, the stuff that is grabbing the teen mind is very, very powerful. And we've got to be there with the love of Jesus Christ. Not to be like, you know, slapping them on their hands, but to be saying, well, let me show you a more excellent way. We've got to show them the love of Jesus. All of this stuff, everything that you read about, everything you do online finds its proper context when you know that who Jesus is and that he loves you. Loves you so much, he would die for you. Everything in life comes into context. So how can we help them to find that? Because so much of the what's online is designed to keep them from that knowledge. If you want to get involved in that conversation, teen ministry this hour, 888-318-7884. Connor McLaughlin, welcome.
Thanks, Cy. Good to be here.
So you've been working, doing this teen ministry thing for years.
Forever, yeah. I was in high school. I was doing teen ministry. I went to college to try to be a youth minister. God shoved me off that path. I'm doing something else. But one of those things is starting Torchbearer Ministries. For the last 5 or 6 years now, we've been working with parishes all over the country, just creating exactly what you said, better experiences for teens to be able to just encounter Christ and his church.
I feel like it used to be that there was a kind of what we used to call, when I was a kid, the generation gap. Mm-hmm. Okay, so people who were from the 30s and 40s didn't understand the kids of the 50s and 60s and 70s. But it's not that way anymore. The generation gap is people from 2019 are completely different from people in 2022. It's like, so how do you even do, like, if you're the best-hearted 45, 50-year-old teen minister, you're like 20 generations away from the teens you're ministering to. Mm-hmm. How is that even possible? How can we even do it anymore?
We need to stop. So this is actually something that I train youth ministers and small group leaders specifically on how to do. And it's one of the things that we mess up, because we think that in ministry, you have to be relatable. You have to be able to connect and feel like one of them. The problem is, as we go generations and generations and as the line blurs, teens get more and more of a radar for that. They're like, you're kind of faking it here.
Yeah.
And when you fake it, it's over. The second they can tell that you're faking it, it's gone. So there's a lot of emphasis in ministry to feel like this loud, exuberant, passionate, like Steubenville Conference, praise and worship sort of an energy. And that'll work for some teens, and for other teens, it won't. Which is,
yes, I see what you're saying.
That's just how we are. So you trying to be Saint Me is not going to work. And me trying to be Saint Cy is not going to work.
I can't even be Saint Cy.
It's impossible.
I have not figured that out.
How can you even do that? It doesn't look good in a church building, and it'll never work. So what we need to stop doing is thinking about, how do I relate to them? And instead we need to create, how can I meet the need they have? How can I connect with them? And that's a very big difference, because relatability is saying, look, it's about me. It's, I'm just like you. So the main focus is you, not them. And they don't care about you. It's not you ministry. It's their ministry. It's a teen ministry. And so you have to connect with them instead of just saying,
to be
you have
helpful
a dog.
To them.
Exactly. Instead of saying, you have a dog. I have a dog. Look at all this great stuff. Look about my dog. It's like, oh, you have a dog? Cool. Awesome. What's your dog's name? It's connecting with them and meeting them where they are and finding out what their need is and then helping them meet the need and then just doing that in a circle over and over again.
So
that's it.
If I'm going to do teen ministry, I don't need to get a skateboard.
Nope. I recommend you don't, because you would probably hurt yourself.
I did one time. My son convinced me. My son's a skater, and he was like, you can drop in. You can do it.
No.
I hit the concrete every possible way you can hit the concrete. And I saw these teen boys standing around me trying so hard not to be rude by laughing their entire selves off. And it was horrifying trying to walk out of that situation because I couldn't hardly even walk. So, yeah, I've tried being cool, and I am not.
It's not worth it. It doesn't help. So,
okay, so because I was going to start with the question about what are we getting wrong with teens, but it feels like we're already into that neighborhood. But I'll ask you and let you give me the most, you know, give me an expansive answer if you'd like. What are we getting wrong in teen ministry and ministering to our teens?
Yeah, I think when we talk about ministry, we often think about teaching. And teaching is the wrong approach because it's not the method that Christ did, and it's not the method that we should be doing. Now, let me clarify that before anyone says, oh, no, wait, hold on. No, Christ did teach. He did, but his method of teaching is not the method we are using today. A lot of times within parish youth ministries specifically, our method of teaching is, let me give you all the information, and then let's go into a small group and make sure you're paying attention. Mm-hmm. That's never going to work because it feels like a test. Teens don't want, ministry should not feel like another school subject.
Right.
So instead of teaching them, we need to just be connecting with them, and we need to be turning the small group time into a way of what's the question you have, let's find the answer over and over and over again.
Wow.
That's it. That's how Christ did it. He only asked questions. The only time, and he, when people asked him a question back, he never even responded with a straight answer. I think there's 4 instances in scripture where he doesn't just
where he's just
ask
like, yes.
Exactly.
No.
Exactly.
You're like, wow, Jesus is off today.
Exactly.
He said yes.
Exactly. John 6, they kept asking him questions. Oh, you say this is your body. And he just kept saying, okay, all right, let's try this again. Here's the question again. Did not your ancestors give you manna in the desert? So we need to ask them questions to answer the questions they have. Because then that puts them on a path and a journey to finding the answer. And they love that. They don't want to be talked down to. They don't want the truth watered down. They want to be empowered to find the answer because they want to find that awesome way to live. So that's it. We just need to ask some questions. And it makes it a lot easier for us because then we don't have to teach. We don't have to preach. All we have to do is think about it in the right mindset of if we're going to them and we're asking the questions that they're asking, we're saying, well, if that's true, like let's say the question's about Christ, if Catholicism is the true religion, right?
Okay.
Very, very big question. Okay, well, what would make a religion true? Well, I guess it would have to be this. Okay, so then does Catholicism meet all of those criteria? Well, yeah, then it would be a true religion. Okay, well, what about? And the whatabouts are great because then you throw it back onto them. Well, what would it mean to be this?
A great technique.
Exactly. It's that simple. And then you don't even need to know the answer technically. You should, obviously, to avoid running into heresy. But you don't even need to know the answer. So you can train someone who is incredibly enthusiastic but isn't a high-level apologist, and they can still be answering the question in a really powerful way for the teen.
Right. Okay, so it seems like you're saying that this sharing of the faith with teens has to start with listening to them.
Yep.
They want somebody to listen to them.
The number one question you need to ask them is, what do you want to talk about? Or the way we recommend people phrasing it is, what question are you not opposed to learning about or to covering or to going over?
Oh, really?
Yeah, because then it's not saying, like, what are you interested in? They go, like, I'm interested in nothing. I don't want to be here. It's, what are you not opposed to?
Okay.
So we're playing a completely basic sphere. There's no intention, no preconception of you have to be into this or anything like that.
Right.
It's just, what would you want to talk about, kind of? And it could be anything. And so what we recommend doing with a lot of the parishes we work with is we recommend putting up a list of a bunch of topics. Because if you say, what do you want to talk about? They'll be like, I don't know. I have no idea. So you give them a list of a bunch of stuff and you turn it into an activity. It's okay. If you see something you'd like, grab a sticky note, write it down, slap it on the wall. And we did a test with this at the National Catholic Youth Conference a few years ago. We got 300 teens to just tell us what they want from youth group. And we were able to collect all that data. It's all on our website, torchbearerministries.com. But parishes use that exact methodology. And then they know, wow, 20 teens all want to talk about, where's God when I'm suffering? It's probably what you should talk about next then.
And then
if the next question they have is that, talk about that next. So then you're hitting what the Holy Spirit is pulling on their heart instead of trying to assume what they want. And then you just ask the questions and repeat.
Wow. So what have you found? I'm just curious about this, actually. I don't know if it'd be helpful to talk about it, but I'm curious about what are the common questions that teens will put on their sticky note?
Why should I read the Bible? Where's God where I'm suffering? Angels, demons, and the devil. Masculinity and femininity is a big one. We just added that into our resources this year.
Meaning they want to know because of the transgender stuff or because...
They just want to know, what does it mean to be a guy? Because there's so many different views of, like, if you're Catholic, a good Catholic guy, he needs to be like this or like that. Or the world's telling him, oh, you got to be like this. Hardcore red pill gym rat. And these guys who are like, I'm more of an Aquinas guy. Like, I'd rather just sit and read I know Aquinas was jacked. I just hope the
answer isn't hardcore red pill gym guy.
No, that's not the answer.
Because I am not that dude. So, okay,
well, the answer is always, what's God's plan for your life? It's sainthood. It's identity. It's these basic things. But they just want to know, what does it mean? Or especially for women, it's like you're being told, as a response to like the hyper-liberalization of culture now, you're being told, no, you have to reject everything of the world. You have to be super veil-wearing, feminine, only stay at home, barefoot, sourdough break-in, trad wife. That's the understanding. Ew. That's what they're told. And for some women, they love it, and that's awesome.
Yeah, but that's not... That's the same percentage that should be hardcore red pill gym rats.
Exactly. And this conversation we're having, that's the conversation teens want to have.
Oh, they
and
do.
So you give them that opportunity to have the conversation, and they'll share all of this stuff, and they'll get it out there.
How exciting.
Isn't it cool?
Yeah, really cool. Connor McLaughlin, our guest, 888-318-7884. You want help talking to your teen or to your teen group or designing your parish program or just... help in how to share the good news with young people. You're welcome to call 888-318-7884.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
This is Sister Lucia Traynor of the Franciscan Sisters of the Eucharist. Catholic Radio is an apostolate that is immediate, interactive, effective, and worldwide. It stimulates listeners to follow the teachings of the Church, brings Scripture closer to us, helps those who wrestle with questions of conscience, and allows us to celebrate the joy of our faith every day.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio, now more than ever.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Connor McLaughlin, our guest. Connor, you were saying it's not about being relatable. Wait, give me the distinction because it's going to be really helpful to me going
forward.
Absolutely.
You want to connect with teens. You don't want to relate to them. Relatability makes it about you. Connection makes it about them.
I got it. Yeah. Relatability does seem like a horrific mistake. Like this idea that I'm going to be cool or I'm going to be the – like. And it's weird because you have to be kind of humble about it, to be like, it's really not even about whether these kids like me or not. It's about whether they get the gospel when they come here.
Yep.
Do they meet Jesus or they don't meet Jesus?
You almost have to remove yourself entirely from the process.
Yeah.
Which connection allows you to do. Because then it doesn't matter who you are, what you want to do. It's just about bringing them to Christ.
Personally, I have a great difficulty with anything where the baseline is it's not about me.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like and it seems like a lot of Christian stuff, you always come back to the same thing. It's not about you.
Yeah, I think that we have a false idea, especially in America, of humility. And I think once we understand humility properly, everything gets easier. It's not just about making yourself lesser. It's embracing that thing that is who you are.
Uh-huh.
That's what humility is. It's not self-depreciation. Yeah. It's not overemphasizing and boasting. It is, I am who I'm meant to be. I'm doing the thing that God is calling me to do. Truly, obviously we can fool ourselves. But if you're truly doing that, that is humility. And if that's it, then you don't matter. You are a reflection of grace, just like Mary is a reflection of the sun, her being the moon into us. We're just a mirror. That's it. The mystics talk about that. And but don't get me started on mystic
theology.
There's
lots and lots of people, though, who, in all humility, they sign up to be there for teenagers in their parish.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like a brick wall to them. Can you help people like that?
Yes.
Where you can.
Yeah, I've helped. There was a parish in Michigan, tiny parish. We're talking like priest, secretary, the youth minister was a volunteer.
Yeah.
They went from 5 teens in their parish, which was her kid and some of her friends, to like 30 within 6 months.
God bless them.
Because the second that you start asking questions and it becomes a safe place, I hate that that term has been so co-opted, but when it becomes a place where people can ask questions and they can seek truth, that's all they care about.
Yeah.
And they're excited to be there and they're loving it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, most parents would like their kids to be in a safe place.
Yes.
I mean, I know
yes,
what you
correct.
Mean. It's been co-opted by people who are like, nothing ever feels safe to them. And
yeah.
you feel like, you know what, you're an adult. But if it's your kid, you want them safe. You want them to be able to. But what about when they ask questions that make me uncomfortable as the minister? Do you see what I'm saying? Like, I'm a little squeamish about some stuff.
Yeah.
Like, what if they ask me things that I'm uncomfortable with?
Like what?
I don't know. Like sex stuff.
Yeah. I mean, as long as
there's other stuff, but let's just go with sex stuff.
I love it. It's a perfect example. That's why I
or
think
Freddy Krueger. Those are things I can't.
Fair. Freddy Krueger's terrifying.
I don't understand Freddy Krueger.
I can't even go near
it's
the Halloween
It's not even a thing
store.
Anymore, is it? I'm like dating myself.
No,
that
people
was like
still
30
love it.
Years ago.
No,
oh,
people
okay.
still love it. Yeah, no.
But like, what if they get into stuff that I'm not ready for that. You're creeping me out, kids.
Yeah. That's why this style of ministry only works within a Catholic setting.
Okay.
It can be used just like other denominations are not the fullness of the faith, but they can do things well. And a lot of other denominations are crushing us in youth ministry. What we can do is we can know that the absolute answer at the end of the day is the truth. Because the church is the fullness of truth. So even if we feel uncomfortable with it, the end goal that they'll arrive at is the truth regardless.
Yeah.
So even if we feel weird about it, at least we're accomplishing their job of helping them connect with truth.
Isn't it funny, too, when you talk to people my age or old people, like there's a lot of people that will tell you a youth minister had a huge effect on them, but they never let the youth minister know it.
Yep.
They're like, I wish I could go back in time and tell that person how important it was that they listened to my question or that they answered something nobody else ever answered to me. So in a certain sense, maybe you got to be ready for some. It's not going to be the most satisfying thing all the time, but you're just going to have to cast your bread upon the water because you don't know where this is landing.
Yep, it's God's plan.
All right.
We're just here.
Want to take some calls?
Let's do it.
All right, Connor McLaughlin, you can find him online under the name Connor McLaughlin. You can also call here 888-318-7884. We're going to start in Texas where Donnie is listening. Donnie, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question.
Well, good evening, and thank you for taking my call. My wife and I are junior and senior high religious education teachers, and over the last several years, just having trouble kind of engaging the kids. We try to interact with them, ask questions, let them know, ask them to bring questions to us that come up in their day-to-day life, but I guess they kind of feel uncomfortable around us as adults or, maybe just don't think about it. There's a couple of programs on Formed that we've utilized, but I just wondered what kind of curriculum or study materials or methods that you might...
Bias, I'd recommend the stuff that we've created because it does... All of the mindset of what I've been talking about was created with those resources in mind. Like, the resources were created from that standpoint. So, obviously, I'm biased. I'd recommend torchbearerministries.com. That being said, a lot of the ideas that we talk about can be applied within your general, what you're doing now. It really is, there are two aspects to ministry that I would kind of give you in terms of resourcing that you want to be aware of. The first being the overall arching element of how the ministry is working. So for example, if it is just we're going to talk to them for a while and then help them process, that's not going to work as well as primarily small group methods. It just won't. Small group is the most effective thing. And from what it sounds like, you guys are doing small groups, so that's fantastic. The other part of that within that big sphere is making sure that you are picking topics that they're interested in. That makes them, they're always going to be willing to talk if it's something they care about, right? If they say, hey, I want to talk about how great the Cowboys are this year, that's, or the Texans, I don't know what part of Texas you're in. If they are really big into those teams, they're going to want to talk about that. But if they don't care and they're like, you know what, I'm more of a hockey guy, then they're not going to want to talk. So before you even enter, you have to figure out what do they want to talk about, because that'll set you up for success, because you'll know they'll want to talk about it beforehand and you're not pulling teeth trying to get them to talk. The other aspect is within the small group itself is how you're approaching it. And that's a lot of, we do a full like hour training with every parish that we work with small group leaders to be able to know exactly what are the specific ways you can ask a really good question, because ministry really just comes down to asking really good questions and letting them find the answer. So let me give you a few little tips that you can use. And then you can apply, you can use stuff on forum, you can use our stuff, you can use, you know, any of the other companies, and you can still apply these tips. Let me give you two really big ones. First, whenever you ask a question, it's okay to let it sit, but you're also allowed to call someone out. You're allowed to say, hey, I want to connect you with the thing you're looking for, and not just say, well, we need to sit here until someone has an answer. You can ask the question again, and that's one of the scariest things, is you just sit there terrified. You can ask a question again, you can call someone out. But for point number two, the way you call out a teen needs to be very specific, because if it feels like shame, they're never going to want to do it. If it feels like you're just calling them out and saying, you need to be answering a question, they're going to hate it. They're going to be so uncomfortable. So what I recommend doing is asking it in terms of, what do you think? Or what is your opinion or perspective on this? How do you see it? Have you ever encountered this? And always ask open-ended questions. So like I just said, have you ever encountered this? That's a yes or no, not a great question. So when you ask an open-ended question, like what's your view? What's your opinion? It allows them to open up the overall wider view of, oh, I can ask anything. There's no right or wrong answer. Let me answer. It makes them feel a little more comfortable. I'm gonna give one more bonus tip real quick, because in response to that, when you are stating something, let's say they ask a question back to you, never say, does that make sense? The second that you say, does that make sense, you've lost, because they're always going to say yes, because they don't want to look dumb. And if they say no, they're going to look dumb. So instead, always ask the question, fair enough? Because when you ask the question like that, it's, does this logically conclude? And if they aren't sure, then they'll say, yes, but what about? And that what about is when you can ask that question that Sai and I were talking about earlier, where you ask a question back and say, well, what about that? Great question. What would we have to do to understand what that would be? And then you can circle. Did that answer the question, Donnie?
Yes, and no wonder I'm having problems, because I always ask them, does that make sense?
The second, trust me, the biggest thing you can do is change from asking, does that make sense, to fair enough, and your entire ministry will change. Your entire small group will change. It is scary.
Okay, well, thank you so much for your help.
Donnie, I just want to tell you something. We love catechists here, and so if you stay on the line and tell Edgar any book we've got in the Catholic Answers catalog, we'd be happy to give it to you as a resource for you. I mean, maybe the Big Book of Catholic Answers, or the Big Book of Catholic Answers Volume 2, you know, gives you a bunch of answers, or maybe Why We're Catholic, or whatever. But any book that you could think of in the Catholic Answers catalog that you want, Edgar will make sure it gets to your home in Texas, just as our way of saying thank you to you for giving your life and time as a catechist. Henry is also in Texas. Just say Hook 'em Horns this time. They all love it.
Okay.
Hi, Henry. Welcome. You got a question?
Yeah. Thanks for having me. Boy, we must have the same problem in Texas. It just seems like getting them to get involved in any kind of conversation is the most difficult thing.
Okay.
You know, I'm in a small parish. I'm a catechist for 7th and 8th graders. And it's only, I mean, the kids totaled 12 to 15 per class, for, and that's both grades. So I don't know if it's like you were saying, or they don't want to sound dumb, or if they say anything, they don't want to sound too Catholic because that's maybe not cool with their friends. I don't know. So, but I got a lot from that last caller. That was really helpful.
All right. So you got awesome. More for Henry? You got more for Henry?
Yeah. Let me give you one. Let me ask you a question here, Henry. When you're talking about 12 to 15, is that all in one small group?
That's the entire class. Yeah.
Gotcha. Are you doing two small groups inside of that class, or is it one group of just 12 to 15?
Yeah, I just keep them in one entire class. I don't always have another person to break them into small groups to help guide them or whatever.
That needs to be the next thing you figure out. It's getting one person who can be there consistently. Anything larger than 10 is ineffective ever at this style
really?
Of ministry. Split it into 8 to 10, and you're good to go.
I want you to hang on. We'll come back and we'll discuss that, because that sounds like a very important point, and I cannot put this break off. This is the one we got to take. So, Henry, hang on. We're going to give you a book as well, but I also want to allow more conversation between you and Connor McLaughlin when we come back on Catholic Answers Live. We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world. But it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun. And that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that. But he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs. But you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests, he does on-air debates, and he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron.
Throughout history, some Catholics have been among the worst kind of villains, right? Or were they? In Canceled, historian Steve Weidenkopf digs into the lives and controversies of some of these Catholics whose reputations have been blackened, often unfairly. He takes on the anti-Catholic versions of history and defends not only these figures, but the faith they represent. Order your copy of Canceled today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
What is the Catholic Church? Everybody seems to have an opinion, but the church never quite fits into the boxes people try to make for it. In The Faith Unboxed, author Andrew Petiprin looks at some of the most common boxes people put the Catholic Church in and explains why they don't fit. In doing so, he brings us closer to what the church really is, the institution founded by Christ. Order The Faith Unboxed today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. What a great conversation, and one we really need to have, because we need to be helpful to our teens. We need to be in a time that is incredibly unhelpful to teens. You think the people that make Netflix or HBO or, I don't know, TikTok, you think they're thinking, how can we be helpful to teens? You know, our top priority here at Facebook International Headquarters is to be helpful to teens. I don't think so. These are wolves that are out there to devour. And I'm sure there's lots of people in it, but those businesses, lots of nice people in it, but those businesses are wolves. And so how are we going to be helpful? And getting great tips on how to do that, how to be helpful to teens from Connor McLaughlin. Torchbearer Ministries is his youth and young adults materials that are available to parishes. You can call and ask your questions at 888-318-7884. Right now we're talking with Henry in Texas, where all the teens are taciturn, it would seem, because everybody in Texas is calling to ask, how do we get these teens talking? Henry, we still got you there with us?
Yes, sir.
Did you want to have a follow-up, or you want Connor to just go a little deeper into what he was talking about?
That'd be great if you could just go a little deeper.
Would you?
If I can get started.
Yeah, absolutely. Great.
We can't even get the adults talking in Texas. Come on.
No. So if you're talking about you have 12 to 15 teens within your overall youth group, you're going to want to split that into two different small groups. You can do that, a guy's group and a girl's group. You could do that like a 11th, 12th graders and a 9th, 10th graders. If you have middle school, you could switch it up middle school, high school. It doesn't really matter. What matters is that you have – it helps when there's a maturity level that is all kind of matched. So if you can match that, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. But what you cannot do is have a genuine small group with any more than 10 people. It's quite literally psychologically impossible, because some people who don't want to talk are then able to hide themselves behind the actual conversation because, oh, well, that person is talking, or I can just get these two people who I know are talkative talking. And it just becomes this extrovert problem. So you only want to have, and any less than six, it just becomes too intimate. So if your next goal should be, how can I get someone who is able to be there consistently, who can run one of the small groups, and I can run the other one, and we can just have conversations with only six to seven people each. That is going to be a bigger help for you than anything else I could recommend. Feel free to send me and contact me, and we can talk through this a little bit more if you'd like. But that's probably going to be the next step, and then it's going to be implementing all the other things I've mentioned.
Right, right. Okay. That sounds fantastic. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Henry, we're very grateful for the call. And as I said to our last caller, we really do love catechists here. So if we can give you a book, any book that's in the Catholic Answers catalog, just hang on. And I don't know if maybe the Big Book of Catholic Answers or Big Book of Catholic Answers Volume 2, it's just that these have hundreds of questions and answers in them. They just might be helpful to you as you prepare for your work each week as a catechist. But whatever book you want, if we've got one in our catalog that you would like, just tell Edgar and he'll send it off to you. Again, the number here, 888-318-7884. All of a sudden, every single line full. So I'm going to try to work our way through this. We'll go to Martin in Las Vegas, Nevada, watching on YouTube. Martin, we're awful glad you're here. Go ahead with your question.
First, Cy, I am a left the Catholic Church 46 years ago. I am a huge Cy Kelly fan.
Oh, my gosh.
So I listen to you guys all the time. So,
Connor, you can take a break. We're going to talk.
Yeah, you found him. No. Congratulations.
Yeah, no. I'm just going to hang out with Martin for a while and have a better...
I listen to you guys almost every day. So,
God bless you. Martin, that's very generous. Thank you for saying that. And it means a lot to me. 46 years away, huh?
Yeah, so the reason why I called is I know that you guys are talking about teens, but, you know, I see some of these Pew Research, you know, polls, and I just pulled up a couple articles. National Catholic Reporter says that most kids are leaving by the age they're 13, you know, over half by 18. And the reason why I left, I had great Catholic parents, great Catholic relationships with the priests. Everything was great. No doctrine or dogma. It's just the mass and the life of a Catholic as a 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever year old was like the worst part of my week. You know, bony butt, hard pew, didn't understand what was going on. You know, at that time, they had a lot of priests from different countries, couldn't understand what they were saying. And I left when I was 18. When I come to the churches that we have now, and I know that there's a pushback on this, but the stuff that they're doing in the churches that I go to with the youth ministries, they are jammed and they are full. And the kids aren't going to mass, you know, what you guys would be mass. They're not going to the services. They have their own services geared towards just them. Do you ever see, it seems like by the time they're teens, you've kind of lost them.
Yeah. That's...
Do you ever see the Catholic Church changing?
Changing in terms of?
The youth ministries. You know, instead of having the kids in mass struggling to keep attention at 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, you know, by the time they're 13, they're leaving. Do you ever see it kind of changing where they're having their own mass?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We tried this back in the early 2000s. There was this idea. One of the other popular programs that everyone kind of knows for youth ministry is called Life Teen. One of the things they recommended and they did was actually to have quote-unquote Life Teen masses that were more in the style of evangelical, non-denominational praise and worship in the mass, and the priest gave a homily that was a little more specific to the teen experience. So we've tried that before. The problem now is that it's become so oversaturated, and you see this Catholic, Christian contemporary music energy across the board. Like if you scroll through social media and you're in, you have Christianity in your algorithm, you're going to see praise and worship music. It doesn't feel impactful enough anymore. So that isn't the solution that we've seen, just because it hasn't worked great in the past. The thing that does work really well though for Mass is just beautiful liturgies. If it is something that connects with them and meets their need, and it, I feel like I'm beating a dead horse here because we gotta keep saying the same thing. If it meets their need, they will care. And their need might be, I want to know this information, but their need also might be, when we did this study, you can find it on our website, torchbearerministries.com. On our homepage, you can scroll to the bottom. It says, like, we asked 300 teens at National Catholic Youth Conference, what do you want from youth group? The number one, I'm spoiling here, the number one thing that they wanted was community. We're talking a third of the teens just said, I want community. And we are in such a loneliness epidemic, especially for anyone. I'm 27, and I feel lonely a lot. Community is dying, and we can talk about that for forever. Don't get me started. But for teens, what we need to do if we want to make an impact for them is make ministry a place where they can come once a week for a few hours, and they can sit, and they can have a conversation with people they like, and people they know who are their age, who are struggling with that same thing that they are. And they can connect, and they can ask their questions, and they can be who they are and find who they are called to be. That is going to make more of an impact than the style of worship, the style, any of that. We should have good beauty, but we also need to have intention, whether it be in the ministry or in the liturgy. That will show them that the way that it is to be a saint, to be a Catholic, to be fully alive, is to live intentionally, not intensely, because intensity will always just lead to more heartache, more pain, more brokenness as we're trying to force God to live in our lives. But if we show them this path of intentional living that is just so beautiful and simple, that's what we have seen that makes the biggest difference across the board, full stop.
Martin.
I hear you and understand what you're saying. And I'm not, I would, you know, just as a closing comment again, so I love you. The only thing that I would push back on is this: the numbers don't follow what you're saying. People are leaving at big numbers, right? So if when you go into a youth group at a Protestant church, let's just say, ask them what they learned today. And I guarantee you they're going to tell you some kind of a story. Oh, I love, you know, ask a 5 or 6-year-old what they learned at the Mass. Guarantee you they're not going to say anything. I mean, I'm almost guaranteed. You know, it's the concepts are over their head, transubstantiation, all this kind of stuff over their head. But if you go in and say, what'd you learn? Oh, I learned about, you know, Noah, or I learned about Jonah, or, you know, it's kid generated.
Yeah, I agree.
So
I think
that would be my only pushback.
No, I actually would agree.
You know, the numbers are going away from you guys. And,
yes.
You know, I would, you know, as a non-Catholic, I want to see everybody in church. And I don't care what church you go to. So that they're leaving, it kind of bothers me.
No,
I'm not a Catholic.
No, I love it, and I actually think it's a really great point. I don't think the numbers work against us. I think it's more so a thing, not just like be a defensive Catholic guy, but I think it's more so exactly what you're saying. There is an area that we can harness way more. There's a lot of, if anybody's doing younger, we're talking elementary school kids, there are some incredible resources that are finally taking off, and I think from that alone, we're going to start seeing numbers shift in the next easily half decade. So, yeah, I agree, though. Let's get more people in church.
Yeah, and one point that Martin makes that really does worry me is these statistics that tell us 4th, 5th, 6th grade, the child has made an interior decision against the church, and the parents don't even know about it until the child is 15, 16, 17. So we do have to be there at a really young age.
Amen.
I'm going to give you a book, too. You can tell Edgar whichever, any book that you want from our catalog. I very much appreciate your call. And also, of course, I appreciate your kind words to me. That means a lot to me. Thank you. Not many people say that. You know, I don't have a lot of fans. Connor.
That's a shame.
I don't want to make this sad, but as I told you, I prefer life when it's all about me.
Of course.
And that's very nice to have somebody say something nice like that. Okay, now I'm after saying that, I'm looking at the ad, and it's for my book. Now I'm just completely making the whole show about me now. Well, that's embarrassing. I'll do it when we come back.
I'll do
the ad about how great my new book is when we come back on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
The Catechism defines evangelization as the proclamation of Christ and his gospel by word and the testimony of life. But what does that look like in real life? It looks like St. Paul street evangelists out in the public square sharing the good news. We're a Catholic nonprofit that starts conversations by handing out free sacramentals. Then we employ our method of listen, befriend, proclaim, and invite. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Mike Aquilino with a few words about St. Clement of Rome. St. Clement was a disciple of Saints Peter and Paul, and he succeeded St. Peter as Bishop of Rome. We have a long letter he wrote to the people of Corinth in Greece. It shows that already in the first century, the Pope's authority extended overseas and the people there accepted it gratefully. The Church's life remains the same today.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Today's ad is about the book, How to Talk About Jesus with Anyone, Tested Techniques for Planting Seeds and Saving Souls. It's by Steve Dawson, the founder of St. Paul Street Evangelization, with his co-author, me. I'm the guy that did the typing. And the reviews are in. I just wanted, Carrie gave me this one. This is the ad. Carrie said, read this on the air. This is a book review online for our book. I have gone through a few evangelist books, and I like this even as a Protestant. The 4 points are right up my alley. I will refer to the icebreakers and this book often. That was he didn't give me the name. I'm sorry. Oh, Daniel wrote that a review. So thanks for the review. How to Talk About Jesus with Anyone, Tested Techniques for Planting Seeds and Saving Souls. I can honestly say it's a great book because every single idea is Steve's. Not a single one of them is mine. The typing is all mine. Get it right now at shop.catholic.com or wherever you get good Catholic books. If you want to talk to strangers, this book will help you do it. If you want to talk to family members, this book will help you do it. How to Talk About Jesus with Anyone. Our guest, Connor McLaughlin, awful nice to talk with. It's great to spend time with him. You can find him on the internet. And I'm going to go back to the phones, Connor, to let you talk with more people.
Let's do it.
Bill is in Oklahoma listening on St. Michael Radio. Bill, I'm so glad you're here. We're big fans of St. Michael Radio.
Okay. Thank you so much, Si. Yeah. Connor, I just wanted to share a couple of things with you. I've been working with young people for a number of years now, and I have found exactly what you're saying before I even knew you were on today or what you were going to be talking about. We found out kind of by trial and error that we had to get them in smaller groups, basically in the numbers that you were talking about. And we also felt like that we had to make them feel ownership in what we were doing, that this was more their program than ours, and that we were there to help them, not preach to them, you know. That was the thing that seemed to work best for us. But the other thing was we were trying to get also the parents, when they were not with us, we were trying to help them to understand this approach also. And I just wondered what you thought about that, you know.
Wow. Yeah, thank you, Bill.
All around, yes, love that. One of the mantras that I like using is a teen ministry is a teen's ministry. It's so hokey, but it's true. It needs to be for them, meeting the needs they have. If we are not meeting the needs they have, we are wasting time and budget. I love that approach. I think it's fantastic. One of the things I do recommend with one of the things you touched on there, if you're trying to get parents and adults, do the exact same thing. Do a young adult ministry. Do a parents ministry. Something, and it doesn't have to relate to the teens. It can just be the exact same thing, using the exact same resources as the teens are using, but it's related to the parents and the questions they have and a ministry answering the questions that are on their heart. So keep it up, Bill. I love it. Sounds great, man.
Yeah. And that the other thing we were trying to do with the parents was we were trying to get them educated and oriented toward what we were doing with their young people so that when they left us and returned home, the parents were reinforcing the same concepts and the same approaches, you know.
Yeah, and that works well if they care. If the parents don't care, shift it to more of a ministry approach instead of a resourcing approach, and you'll be good to go. If they do care, phenomenal. Go hard. Don't try to change anything if it's working.
It's Oklahoma. The parents care.
Oh, yeah.
Bill, thanks. Again, God bless you for your work as a catechist. We try to do everything we can to support catechists. And if you'd like any book we've got in the catalog, just tell Edgar. He's going to pick the line up in a moment here. And you let him know what you want, and we'll get it sent out to you there in Oklahoma. Stan's in Georgia, listening on St. Paul Radio. Let me get the right number here. Stan, welcome. You got a question?
Well, hey, thank you. Thank you for helping me become a better catechist over the years.
Beautiful.
I was born a Detroit River rat, and I came down south with my wife and learned about the church.
Wow.
Because I had all kinds of questions from all my Protestant good buddies. And so it just made me a better Catholic. But I've been teaching CCD for over 55 years, and I always seem to get the confirmation kids. We have a small parish here in Georgia. It's a little rural area. I have like maybe 12 kids in my class, and two or three of them are godchildren, and half of them are Hispanic. They speak enough Spanish to be dangerous, but they're all really good kids. But you know, they're in the public school system and they get all this kind of stuff. And so we go through the basic things. I try to do the Socratic method. I love your guest who talks about the Socratic method. Ask questions. That's fantastic. That's what I try to do. I wanted to know from Steve how he approaches prayer with kids. I'm working on prayer right now, but I said, you know, if you don't remember anything from our class, be on speaking terms with God, know the Blessed Mother, and realize that the rosary is something to hold on to, and everything falls apart. But how does Steve approach prayer with teenagers?
I got to tell you, Stan, I wrote the book with Steve in the studio with us. This is Connor. So, Connor.
I wish I was Steve.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
I thought it was Steve Dawson.
Yes, Steve is who I wrote the book with, but who our guest for the show is Connor McLaughlin. But that's okay. No, I just wanted to make sure that I didn't confuse the audience.
I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
Go ahead, Connor.
Steve does some great work as well. Prayer is very interesting because the second you try to start focusing on a specific aspect of prayer, then you dive only into one aspect of spirituality. And teens will connect with different types of spirituality based off of who they are. Like, I used to be really into Ignatian spirituality, and then in the last year or so, I've dived really deep into mystic spirituality. And those types of prayer are vastly different animals. And so when you're talking about prayer, the best thing I've seen, give them a variety. Show them the menu. Let them experience Liturgy of the Hours, the Rosary, the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, Lectio Divina. Let them experience all the different types, and then let them pick what the Holy Spirit is pulling them towards. Like, I only recently just got back into praying the Rosary this last year, last 3-4 months maybe, but before that I was praying the Chaplet of Divine Mercy consistently and praying Lectio Divina consistently. And so it's not just about getting them to know, helping them experience and fall in love with the time that they can take to just turn off everything else and fall into something that they love. And prayer is meant to be. It's never for God. It's always for us. God doesn't need our prayers. It's something that helps us. And so show them the variety of prayers that are out there. Let them experience it. Try it all out. Let them run with it. That way they'll know, both now and in the future, their options so that the Holy Spirit can pull them in the direction of prayers that they're familiar with.
Stan, God bless you for your work with young people. If you would like a book from our Catholic Answers catalog, I'd love to send you any book that we've got. I've been recommending the Big Book of Catholic Answers or the Big Book of Catholic Answers Volume 2, just because I think you know, I'm sure that a million questions come up with these young people. But any book you want from the Catholic Answers catalog, Edgar will pick up the phone and get it to you. I'm going to keep moving only because we are just a few minutes away from the top of the hour. Will is in Alexandria, Virginia, watching on YouTube. Welcome, Will. Go ahead with your question.
Oh, hey, guys. Thanks a lot. Really appreciate it. Let's see. I've got college-age kids, and they've got a good foundation, and they're one's at a Catholic school with a strong Catholic identity, and the other's at a secular school that has a great campus ministry program, and I've got a high schooler's on his way. What do you, Connor, any recommendations, and Sai, too, from your experience, on how to engage your college-age kids when they're not in these strong on-campus experiences with their groups, when they go back to the parish? You know, I feel like they're kind of in a no man's land, if you will, where they're not in the youth ministry anymore. And the young adult ministry where we live is great, but it's all like 25 to 35,
right.
And they're working professionals, yep. And all that stuff.
Listen, I'm just going to say this, and then I will, because you asked for both of us to answer, but I will say this. Listening to what Connor has said today, I kind of wish I had known this when my kids came back from college, because what I would have liked to have said to them is, I know you're getting all kinds of things in college. What kind of things can we talk about? What's on your mind? Are there questions I can answer about the Catholic faith that I tried to give you? You know, I would have tried to have more of those conversations. I might have saved my kids from some trouble if I had been able to open up those lines of communications a little bit better whenever they were back. So I'll just say, I wish I had known this. That's all. But you go ahead, Connor.
No, I think that's spot on. The one thing you do want to check, Will, also as a fellow Virginian, love it. Good to hear from you. Make sure that when you're having those conversations with your teens, it's not just, let me teach you. It's having a conversation. Like, they're full adults. They're able to understand and articulate and have conversations about life. They know the things. You know, we get into this trap of thinking we need to teach them. It's like, no, they are being taught something. Having a conversation and filling in the gaps is going to be far better than just trying to be the teacher still. The other thing, though, that hits the conscience. What's going to make more of an impact is attaching and doing things that hit their subconscious, right? We can also talk about this as the intellect and the soul. Without going super in deep, consume good quality media with them. That is one of the biggest things, because when you are having this experience, and I can go into the psychological studies, but we don't have time. When you are consuming good media and you're going through a process of seeing art, seeing beauty, having your soul touched, having something hit you in the way that only movies and music can, that creates a bonding experience and leads you to truth. If you want a recommendation, I just finished making a film with my film studio. I do a lot of stuff. It's called Letting Go of Jack. It's on Amazon Prime right now. You can just rent it. It's an old classic road trip film. It's a little bit of language, but nothing too harsh, but it's good media. The Cabrini movie that came out a few years ago, really solid. There's a movement towards good media. Find where it is. It doesn't need to be explicitly religious. Find good media, consume it with your kids. That makes a massive impact, more than you'd ever think.
Will, I'm interested to hear what you think about that.
Those are great recommendations, especially because it's not necessarily where my head was going. The reminder to listen is great, because I'm actually going to pick up my daughter now for fall break. So we're going to have some time in the car, and I'm usually in receive mode when she talks about our campus ministry. But and it's about the personalities and, you know, and kind of things they do. But that's a great reminder to ask what she's getting out of it and how it's helping shape and form her spirituality and her faith. So that's great advice and timely advice. So really appreciate it. And the media, too, is great. You know, we try to do a family movie night, and you know, it's great to get recommendations. I'd like to see, like, for example, I think Triumph of the Heart. I haven't seen that one yet, about Maximilian Kolbe.
I saw it.
Well, Letty Young Jack will definitely add that. Thank you.
Yeah, have you seen the Triumph of the Heart yet?
Yes.
It's good. It's really good. I don't want to give anything away, but there is a scene. I can't.
Don't say a word.
I'll give it away, and I can't do it. But. Will, what a great opportunity to get to talk with you, and it's especially because I know there are so many parents who don't have, like, what do we do when the kid comes home from college? And it's and they come home that freshman year, and you're like, something happened, but I don't know what it was. That is, I think many people are in that boat. So thanks very much, Will. So we'd like to give you a book as well. If you just hang on, tell them which book you'd like. And you're welcome. Take anyone you want. Maybe you want one of the Big Book of Catholic Answers or the Big Book of Catholic Answers Volume 2. There's going to be a Volume 3, Connor. You'll be
really?
Yes.
Oh, shoot.
Thank you for faking excitement.
I need a new bookshelf.
I appreciate that. Connor McLaughlin, you can check him out online. Lots of people do. You can follow him on his social media. Just use his actual real name. And if you want to find out about Torchbearer Ministries, maybe for your parish, maybe for your own ministry, maybe just to learn these techniques as a parent or volunteer at the parish, where do you go for Torchbearer Ministries?
TorchbearerMinistries.com. We will do training with you on all this kind of stuff and more. We haven't even touched the iceberg. So if you have any questions, please reach out.
That's what they said on the Titanic. We haven't even touched the iceberg yet.
Uh-oh. And
sorry. I say dumb things sometimes, Connor, but I'm glad you were
here. I can promise better results than the Titanic.
Oh, there we go.
That I can promise.
Boy, you're a salesman. Jeff Cavins coming up. The guy that knows the Bible like nobody else. And we're going to talk the Bible right after this on Catholic Answers Live.